Hey everybody, welcome to season 6 of Surface Level, creating a community where Black and queer folks are fearless in thought and curious at heart. I'm one of your hosts, Damon, and today, Jordan, Tony, and I are discussing the value of openly sharing the highs, lows, and in-betweens of the Black queer experience. What external and internal factors have led to the lack of visibility of Black and queer stories? How do you hope the work that we're doing will continue to change conversations around visibility for future generations of Black queer men? This is Invisible Life. Welcome back, y'all.
Work.
Yes.
I wore my premiere shirt. Y'all like it?
I'm living for this pink. You know,
Damon rarely wears color, but I have to say, you ought to, you know, just jump out a little bit.
You wearing black?
A little spice life. Yeah, I have on my, you know, my black. You know, this is a little merch.
Where can
merch.
People get that shirt?
It's getting a little merch. Surfacelevel.com. Invisible, nah, queer, and proud as fuck.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
So it's been a little bit since the people have like hung out with us. So what, Jordan? What you been up to?
So. I turned 33. That was exciting.
Yes.
I spent it exactly Jesus how I wanted to, by myself.
Good. You went on a boat, too, sure.
Huh?
You should block the boat out.
Oh, I'm talking about my actual birthday. Like my birthday. You know, I took myself out to brunch. Mm-hmm. I took myself to get a massage and a facial and dinner, and I got a custom suit.
Mm-hmm. Work.
So really nice day.
Cute.
I also officially live alone, which is like a huge just milestone for me.
Yeah. I mean, you've lived alone before, but
I have.
Very, very briefly.
A brief moment
briefly,
in time.
Briefly.
Yeah. Very different space.
Very different space in life. And so I'm having a lot of
physical, literal space.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm not as big as this studio.
I'm not in my shoebox studio anymore. That was small, but that was a fun project.
Oh, wait, you had that other studio too. I forgot about that.
The even smaller one.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking about that one. I wasn't even thinking about the first one. I was thinking about that tiny one where you were like, and it'll be fun.
It was
like,
cute.
Living in a hotel room. I was like, this is crazy.
Child. It was cute.
Was mapping out that little space. I was like,
she made it work. Listen,
she did what needed to be done. Highly efficient.
Exactly. I'm very modular. So that's been fun. So don't invite me out because I'm getting my money's worth from my rent.
They can come over to the chateau.
Here she go with this. don't invite me out. Leave me out of the plan.
Let's stay in the streets.
Meanwhile,
streetwalker.
Bus. Another club. Another club. No sleep.
No, I mean, I'm still going out. But, you know, I mean, whatever.
You're a liar.
And, you know, I'm still dating in New York, which is interesting. The more that people are becoming familiar with the podcast, just because it's very easy to see how I feel about everything.
So has being on the podcast enhanced the dating experience?
I typically like to be mysterious when I'm dating.
You said, but you said,
can pull up them clips. It's just like, said,
okay, got you, vanilla switch.
Okay. Oh, bitch.
You have to go back to last season to find out what that means.
I'd definitely be in my donut time and be like, and you said this, and I was curious.
I'm like, what season was that?
I'm like, I meant to spark conversation with other people, not in my home. I had a conversation on the show.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, those are my life updates.
She got a lot of updates. Tony, what's going on in your life?
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, steady, easy goes it. You know, not too much craziness going on. Okay. Just very busy. I'm still, you know, working still fairly new at my job. Mm-hmm. I'm doing some traveling, which is really nice. I'm living differently financially, so I'm, you know, paying off credit card debt has been one of the great pleasures and joys of my life recently, and it is, you know, it feels really good. I was telling you girls about that a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, and that is really sparking joy for me. Still in a healthy relationship, navigating that and what that looks like. So I don't have the dating. I don't have to go through the dating experience
right now.
Uh-uh, you should still be going on dates.
But I won't. No, we go on dates now. Yeah, we still make it nice, and it's lovely. And then I will say, you know, the podcast is growing, and everywhere I go, I usually will have someone that comes up and say how much they love the show. Someone asks, what's a big challenge about, like, what's something that you thought, you know, wasn't going to happen with the show, or that you have to like sort of manage back. And I said, for me, it's been well received. I feel like we made ourselves approachable, which I really love. People come up to us and they don't feel, you know, kind of like, oh, stush, those girls. So I feel like we're really doing our jobs of building this community. And, you know, I'm the community girl.
You're a community organizer. She's Barack Obama.
So,
Barack Obama.
So, yeah, it's been nice. It's been lovely. And I'm excited for this season and what's to come. So, Damon, how about you? What's going on in your
world? What's new? I'm into color.
There we go. That's a big development.
I color my hair. She's burgundy. She's a thing.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm like having discussions around what it means to plan a wedding, or like if that's even a thing that I want in the traditional sense.
Oh my goodness.
So those are conversations that I'm having that I haven't had before.
I know y'all gonna make it nice, so I can't wait.
Whatever it is, gonna be nice, short, and sweet. It's like y'all not about to be spending up my life savings drinking up my
Brina lobster.
I'm just like, I know how you girls are
on your dime.
Hello. We at your friend's house. Cheers to the girl. But yeah, no, I guess that's been a thing, like figuring out what it will mean to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very strange.
That
to
is
say.
You know, it's life has been moving and hitting you fast. Hitting us all fast, I'll say. But I love to be in a space where I have friends that are taking those next steps, because, you know, it's always like one of those things that's really, it's way back in my mind, like marriage is really like, it doesn't seem like it's something that feels like it would happen soon for me. But the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, wait, hold on now. Like, you know, right. What do they say about God? She's a comedian. So right. I feel like life might hit me. Who knows?
Never know. Y'all keep making it nice the way y'all do.
Okay, so today's guest is a journalist, media executive, stylist, culture creator, human rights activist, and the founder of Native Son, an organization that harnesses the collective power of Black queer men with the goal of ensuring that our voices, visibility, and lived experiences are elevated in all of the communities in which we exist and never again disregarded. Today, we are elated to welcome Emil Wilbekin to our Surface Level family.
Yes.
Welcome, Emil.
Welcome.
Oh my
Thank
goodness.
Thank you. I wish I would have wore pink or white or.
You're still on brand.
Well, we met. Okay.
We just got Beyonce in the middle here. The alien superstar.
Yes. Yes.
We got the same shirt on.
Do we?
No, it's
but
not...
you know, if you like close one eye, don't look out the other.
Well, this has been a long time coming, you know. Like, we are really happy to have you here today, just because of who you are and what you're going to bring to this conversation. Yeah. So,
but like always, we're going to start with the game.
Ooh.
Okay.
All right,
I'm really, really, really excited to say that. So I'm just grateful to be here, to invited to be with you all, and I've been following what you're doing, and it's incredible. So thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, it's gonna be a good time. All
right, so this season we've talked a lot about invisibility through our launch and through our kickoff, and that's the theme of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
We'll play a little game called Now You See It, Now You Don't.
Oh.
And I'm gonna give you some scenarios and alternatives of things that are typically kept private.
Mm-hmm.
One, you can keep to remain invisible.
Uh-huh.
And the other, the world will see.
Okay.
And you pick the lesser of the two evils.
Okay.
All right.
this is going to eat the girls up.
Listen.
So, if you had the option between your DMs and your text messages, which would you like to keep private and which are out for the world to see? Jordan.
So I'm definitely keeping Instagram DMs private.
I wonder why.
Just no reason.
Yeah.
Then, you know, people can have my text messages begrudgingly, but they can have that over the DMs.
Totally.
Yeah, it's giving now you see it, now you don't. You don't and won't see my DMs on Instagram or any other social media platform. And you will see my text messages, and but you'll be mad all the same. DMs or text messages, neither are pretty or good look for you. So, there's that.
I'm going to say text messages mm-hmm. are not to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DMs. My DMs are pretty PG. I mean, okay. I get the occasional moment where I'm like, oh, shit.
Hit the phone.
Right. I'm like, whoa. Stop. But no, my text messages, I think, are more private mm-hmm. and exclusive.
I mm-hmm. would agree with that. I'll be talking to these people on Instagram. Okay. Talking to strangers, child. Mm-hmm. I mean, how much have we talked
about? I mean,
about?
I just think about our, like the DMs that we have, I have with my friends and yeah, the way I'm we like, carry ooh. On.
Well, child, that's going to be either way. I've been talking to y'all in our DMs, Slack, Instagram. I'm just like, how many ways can you send a message?
Mm-hmm. That's too funny.
All right. So, would you rather people see you dancing at home alone or singing in the shower? Tony.
Dancing home alone or singing in the shower? Oh, I'd rather the girls see me singing in the shower. I might turn the girls on, child. Yes. Give him a little Toni Braxton.
Oh, that's what you're singing in the show.
I might be singing Love Should Have Brought You Home last night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. You know, I live for Toni Braxton. Oh, I might do Cuff It in Toni Braxton voice.
Oh! Emil?
I'm going to go with Toni. Singing in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that. The dancing is a hot mess. but singing in the shower. So I actually sing and people don't know that I sing. Oh. So I have this lovely bass voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So singing, I think same might turn some folks on.
Yes.
Jordan.
Dancing.
I'm just like, she hitting the eight count.
Yeah.
You know, this bitch is
I'll let
choreographed moment.
Hello.
I don't know. I sing in different voices and it gets real weird.
I know. I heard you on the ground floor of your building hollering.
It's not even a song anymore. It's now like me actually, doing like a parody of like
this
SNL.
Actually isn't even a relevant question for you. You'd be so fucking loud that people already hear you. It's not invisible.
Screaming at the top of my lungs.
The whole building hears it already.
Y'all don't want to hear that. Yeah.
Go with singing in the shower. That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
I like singing.
Yeah.
You do like, Renaissance in the shower.
Hello?
It's everything.
Well, the acoustics. At my house, we were like dancing in Renaissance and cat suits one night.
Oh my God.
Well,
that's
fun. It was fun. What
y'all been doing at your house, child? Was it a costume?
Costume, we have a costume party.
Just on Tuesday night.
Just
after
know,
dinner.
Good Saturday. All right. It. So would you rather keep private the history of your incognito screen in your browser? Or your hidden album in your iPhone? Tony, since you think it's so funny.
This is easy for me because that incognito moment, I don't tap into her.
What?
I feel like I was gonna say that's a Jordan moment.
Tony just typed dick right into the main browser.
I don't tap into her. I actually don't use a laptop for porn. If I'm gonna watch.
But I'm even on your phone?
What? This is my bone.
Exactly. like,
right.
This is mine.
BBC.
This is mine.
Right.
Big black consciousness.
Jordan.
Mm-mm, y'all can't see my incognito, which I need to clear after this conversation. Anyway, thank you for the reminder. In my hidden album, I don't really even think I use that feature on iPhone.
Yeah.
Everything in the main album, which is also a problem. I'm gonna do a lot of housekeeping.
About to go
tonight.
And tear that phone up.
I need to clean everything tonight.
Mm-hmm. Meal.
Private browsing is called private browsing for a reason. So that's gonna stay private.
Yes.
And yeah. I don't even know this hidden album situation. So Uncle Auntie's feeling like
yeah, the girls have a vault.
I have a hidden album, but like that's I'd rather that be released than some of the weird shit I may be having a moment for
right
in my you never listen sometimes. All right. Would you rather keep hidden what you look like first thing in the morning or after a long ass day at work? Jordan.
After a long day at work, I'm still beat in a good way.
I'm still camera ready.
Right. I have a job, but I'm on camera.
Y'all don't want to see this wig first thing in the morning?
Girl, I saw you after that long day at work on Wednesday.
first of all, that Very was true. That was before wash day. Okay, that's
before you put that avocado in.
Catch me after work, because mm-hmm. I do things after work. But first mm-hmm. thing in the morning, I need privacy. I need to get myself together.
Mm-hmm. Emil?
I would rather keep after work private, because I feel like I've got combination skin. I look greasy. I look stressed. I need a drink. Mm-hmm. In the morning, I actually look fierce.
Like, word. Yeah. This is like, okay, I
woke up like this. And trust me, I've had to jump on Zooms like where I oversleep and I'm like, oh, shh. And
I'm just like,
hey, y'all. And boom. Light. Boom.
Okay. Tony.
I think I would agree with Jordan, but these days, the after work situation, I'm home mm-hmm. most of the time since it's remote. But you know, I'm presentable. I'll say that. So okay. Yeah, I would go with that.
I'm not a morning person. Leave me alone. y'all know that
face. You could lie. You could lie to me.
I wake up
frowning.
Me alone. All right. So last one. Would you rather keep private the group chat with your close friends or the chat with the person you're dating? Tony.
Oh, chow. The group chat with the close friends is giving a lot. So I want to keep that private. Yeah, that might get some of the girls canceled.
Right. That part. Right. Who the fuck knows what I said to y'all back in 2012?
Exactly. And it's all there.
It's all there. Jordan?
Same. Yeah, the group chat with friends. It's no limits, you know? We just
no limits. Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, mm-hmm. who can be the funniest today?
Right.
Go for it. Who can be the most provocative? Yeah, keep mm-hmm. that private.
And you?
Same. Group chat is like lit and on fire and crazy. And I'll put the phone down and pick it up and there's 53 messages.
Right. Oh my God.
So they're going in.
Yeah.
Right. I'll just say Bevy Smith is in my
wow.
You already know what it's given.
Right.
A lot.
And then the last question, just for Emil, we always ask our guests, what are you curious about?
What am I curious about? Anything.
Anything. Anything in the world.
Wow, that's good.
Big, small, serious, funny.
What am I curious about? I am curious about, in this particular moment, I'm curious about what 2023 is going to be giving, because it seemed really stressful going into the election, and then the election was kind of lit and like mm-hmm. powerful, and people showed up, and Black women showed up, and Black queer folks were getting elected left and right. So I'm kind of optimistic now, where mm-hmm. I was a little freaked out about like, where are we going as a country? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm actually curious about what next year is going to give when we're fully outside. Everybody's got their boosters. There's no monkeypox situations. Sure. Mm-hmm. And we have all these new powerful folks in government. I'm excited yeah. about that.
Amazing. All right. So this episode, thematically this season, we want to speak a lot about visibility. We did some interesting videos this week for our launch just mm-hmm. about invisibility and things that we have found inspiring. So like those videos, we talked about contributions to culture for Black queer people that have really inspired us and made us feel seen. I spoke about the career and work of Byard Rustin. Jordan talked about Frank Ocean's Channel Orange album, and Tony spoke about Elin Harris's Invisible Life, for mm-hmm. which we titled this episode. So, Emil, we wanted to ask you, what's a Black queer contribution to culture that's made you feel visible and feel more seen?
So, I'll say this because they passed away this year. I think the work that Andre Leon Talley did, because I think a lot of people take for granted, mm-hmm. like, oh, he's fabulous, and he was larger than life, and he was over the top. But for me, as a young, you know, queer person that was like, I want to work in media. Mm-hmm. He was like my North Star in many yeah. ways. And he broke through so many barriers. And I think people take for granted that fashion is really, really kind of white supremacist and exclusionary. And there you would have this gigantic Black, gay, queer man mm-hmm. in the room running things and directing things with an immaculate knowledge of art history and fashion and all these things. He was powerful, and there's parts of his life that were very sad, but I think that, you know, it was interesting. I got to go to his memorial service, which I was like super humbled that I was like on the list, because it was mm-hmm. really, it was, really tight.
It was an event.
child. Like, I was like, come through. And the most interesting thing to me was he was a visionary because he left his intellectual property to Abyssinian Baptist Church and to the school in Savannah that he supported, right? And so that's really, really dope, right? He may not have had tons of financial wealth, but his intellectual property is unending, right? Mm-hmm. And so for him to donate that to his church and to a school, and I just, to SCAD, I just thought was really, really powerful. So he's someone that I think because of his visibility, I was able to have a possibility model, to have somebody I could say, okay, if he can do this, I can do this. Yeah. And so that's who I'm going to put forward.
Amazing.
Yes. With regards to Tally, I think about how he had visibility. Mm-hmm. They had visibility. And although there was that visibility, a lot of the life that was lived was invisible, and a lot was hidden in private. And you know, that is just striking a chord with me as it relates to like this whole visibility conversation. But glad you got to go to the service. That's fierce. And I'm sure you showed up fierce. But Emil, so we have a few things in common, like you and I specifically.
Okay.
And one being that we both used our platforms, you with Native Son and me with Surface Level, to speak publicly for the first time about our undetectable status. Mm-hmm. And so can we talk about that experience and what that transparency has meant for the conversation regarding HIV in our community?
Sure. So it was really important when we were launching Native Son that I wanted to be like as transparent as possible. And the one thing I had not been public about was my HIV status. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because I think part of the reason I started Native Son was because of the fact that I felt shame around my HIV status. I felt shame in my family, and not shame that they put on me. I was ashamed that I had contracted it, that I didn't take better care of myself, that I didn't protect myself. And then I was like ashamed to tell my mother because, you know, I felt like I let her down. And then I was also in relationships that I didn't feel great about my status. And I've always been very, very transparent in dating about my status. And, you know, I learned very quickly, do it on the first or second date, but like get it out the way. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to go down the road and it gets all romantic and flowers and all the things, and then you're like ghosting me because I'm positive. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with sex, you want to be like honest about it. So that was a part of me that I felt kind of chained down and bound by, and I didn't like that. So it was really, really stressful for me going into the Native Son Awards because I'm launching something that's new. I have no idea if it's going to take, if people are going to be into it, what it could become. And this is like my big dream that I want to bring it to life. But then I have to overstep this obstacle. Now, the parallel story was that my mother was suffering from congestive heart failure at the time. And so she was really, really sick and in and out of the hospital. And I just was like, is this the time to do it? And like, if she finds out that way, like without me telling her, is that messed up? And how's that going to impact her health? And so a part of me through prayer, through friends and my support system were just like, you have to live for yourself. Mm. And so I thought it was really, really important if you're going to serve this community of Black and queer men, and you know that 1 in 2 will contract the virus in their lifetime, mm-hmm. you've got to come clean.
Yeah.
And so I did it.
Wow. And that really resonates with me because I'm curious for you, like for me, Surface Level really gave me a platform to want to say that out loud, mm-hmm. and talk about it out loud. And I think that had we not done this podcast, the information would still be relegated to probably the few people that I you know, talked about it too in private. And so what I found is that through having this platform and being able to speak about it, an outpouring of love came my way. It was overwhelming. And then also, like you're saying, I found that my approach to dating was like, I want to be upfront and have that conversation in the beginning. And I oftentimes would find that either A, the person that I was telling was also positive.
Right.
Or that they were more into me because I was just so forthcoming with the information. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, if you can say that,
right,
then you're, mm-hmm, you're a man of God.
Yes. I also think it, like, to the other part of that conversation, like Jordan, myself, were obviously here with you having that discussion on the show. And I think it's important for people to see support, mm-hmm, people to see allyship, for people to see people not judging and understanding the science behind these things and that burden for the destigmatization, not to just rely on the people who are living lives undetectable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think like that really is just like the thing about this, like getting rid of shame. Mm-hmm. Like, for you to be able to date or meet friends or be close to people, mm-hmm, or whatever it may be, communicate this and people go, okay, cool.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's, like that. No, that's a great point. I think that immediately following that episode, and shortly following that episode, by the way, if you haven't listened to Undetectable, it's season 2, episode 4. Dimitri Moise was our guest during that episode. Yeah. He was an amazing guest. He also talked about his experience. But following that, I had several people come to me, friends and people in romantic interests, share their status with me. Mm-hmm. And I was so incredibly honored. And I attribute it to them hearing the, mm-hmm, conversation that we had and how supportive the conversation was, mm-hmm, to give them the courage to share it. And I felt so honored that I could be a support system and somebody who could reinforce that, you know, that decision and empower them to say, like, you know what, it's, nothing's changed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, thank you for sharing that with me. Mm-hmm. If you want to talk about it again, we can. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
and if you don't, that's your business.
Right.
And that's your business. But I love that, you know, you told your story, Tony told his story, and it's allowing people who don't have platforms to listen to those words, mm-hmm, and let it influence sort of how they navigate life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I would just add, I mean, so the one point that you mentioned and you both kind of pointed to too, in dating, it was really interesting, right? Because, mm-hmm, there were people that were freaked out by it. And then there were people that were like, yes, I am positive too. Mm-hmm. And then there were the people that were just like, I love you, like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So there was that mix. Yeah. I think what was really important to do when I did it publicly, which I didn't expect, is that I knew I was talking to a room where potentially more people were living with HIV than, you know, is visible.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people pulled me to the side afterwards and were like, thank you for doing that. It was like they were able to exhale because I was. And I don't know if you felt that same kind of experience, but that was the part that was most meaningful. Like, Billy Porter was in the room that night.
Oh, wow.
And so that was years before he came out about his status. Stephen Claiborne, who came out last year on Instagram about his status. Mm-hmm. And he, when he did that, I called him. I'm like, thank you. Are you good? Do, yeah, you need support?
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was being in that room at the very first Native Son Awards. And I aspire.
Ooh, I'm getting chills.
Yeah. To be able to live with that kind of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was like a breath, an exhale.
Mm-hmm.
An exhalation of just like, I did the thing. I cried, like I boohoo cried in the shower because I was just like, like there were certain family members that didn't know. Certain family members I told right before the episode came out, and I just felt free. And I wish my hope for people is that they can have an experience that level of freedom. It's priceless.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about representation. Because we often speak about the external factors that have led to the lack of representation. So like white folks being white and
doing what they do,
gatekeeping and whatnot. But let's look inward and talk about what hindrances we think that we're creating within our own community as it relates to representation. And anyone can start.
I'll go. You know, I think it's one, it's really important to be an active participant in supporting queer artists, queer initiatives, and so on. I've said this before about, I think we are so used to like things being served to us on a silver platter. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we will love our queens. We love Beyonce. We love Rihanna. We love like when Drake is putting his little queer leaning lyrics out at Do Your Thing 21 or whatever the fuck he's talking about now. Mm-hmm. And like those things, they have marketing budgets. It's easy. You don't have to find them. They're delivered to you. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that we have to recognize that queer artists that are just as talented, they're just as amazing, that have so many amazing stories to tell, may not have the machine behind them that makes you all go, hey, listen to this. This is important. Yeah. And I think that the thing that I often try and do is be like, I want to find these people. And people are like, come on, how do you do this? Google it. Search it. Take 3 fucking seconds to be like, you know, I'm really interested in like a queer author. And you'll find amazing people. Mm-hmm. If I'm really interested in like a queer music artist, it takes 30 seconds, 30 additional seconds mm-hmm. to do a search and find. And then you can actively support and share and tell those stories.
Yeah.
Another note that I would say is just like, be respectful of this full spectrum of queer expression. Mm-hmm. Like right now, like Saucy Santana's having a moment. And a lot of people be like, oh, he's too extra. I don't like that. But like his... allowing him the space to be extra and supporting it allows you the space to be whatever type of queer person you want to be as well. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. those things support one another. Mm. The support of Saucy Santana allows the person that may be just extremely masculine presenting to like also live their truth. Mm. Because we can have a discussion about the diversity and the beauty and the diversity of our community. And we're not just putting these heteronormative ideas onto ourselves and like dimming the light of one thing that's not like us because we think that if it's not like us, then it's not worthy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's my soapbox. I'm off it.
Yeah. my point is a little bit similar to the second point that you made, Damon. Mm-hmm. And it's around Black queer men specifically being more willing to lean into the full confidence of their queer expression, their mm-hmm. queer identity. I know that society rewards Black queer men for being unclockable or being a more tame version mm-hmm. of their queer expression. And I think after experiencing that sort of reward system through society for so long, you start to think that it's worthwhile to sacrifice that part of yourself for that reward. And I think that a lot of people are so caught up in like, oh, well, I might lose friends and I might lose opportunities and I might lose money. You might. Mm-hmm. You might lose all of those things.
But you will gain so much fucking
but
more.
But you lose so much more by not allowing yourself to live the full expression. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that just even doing this podcast, you know, I've seen a change in myself and how I navigate because mm-hmm. we're having this conversation where it's just the 3 of us. So people get to see me when I'm with people that I'm the most comfortable with mm-hmm. and not the shell or the mask that I was putting on when I would go out in public.
That's a great point.
and since doing this podcast, yeah, has some people walked out of my life? Has there been opportunities missed? Probably. Has there been money lost? Maybe. But the people who have walked into my life since starting the podcast have been amazing, magnificent, trailblazing, life-changing people. Mm-hmm. And for the people who left, I probably didn't even recognize that they left.
That part.
And it doesn't matter, but you know, I feel I feel like that it's so much more to gain by leaving that fear behind mm-hmm. and stepping into who you really are.
Yeah. Emil, what do you think? How are we hindering ourselves as a community and sort of being a blocker to mm-hmm. you know, to ourselves with having that representation?
So I mean, it's such a loaded, heavy question, and mm-hmm. I was, as you all were talking, like, I agree with everything that you're saying. I think I keep going back to this idea of, are we supporting Black queer work? Mm-hmm. Right? And so in all of its expressions and forms, right? And so, you know, people are like, oh, Saucy's too much and too femme and too this and too that and too designer, this and that. And I think about when Lil Nas X came out, it was just so much, right? And everyone's like, oh, he's doing a country western thing. Then it's like, oh, he's fucking the devil and he's doing all Then it's just like, we question that and challenge that, but then look what happens, right? Mm-hmm. He becomes however many times platinum and then opens the door for Saucy, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're standing on the shoulders of so many artists that came before them. Mm-hmm. But what I'm really struck with is on the way here, we had posted on Native Son a trailer for The Inspection, which is Elegance Bratton's movie about his life. And it's, you know, an important story, and Jeremy Pope slays in his performance. Like, crazy. Gabrielle Union, amazing. And there is this long essay comment in the comments on the post about someone complaining as a black queer presenting man saying that he's tired of seeing trauma stories. Hmm. And so he goes into this whole thing like white gay men are able to express joy in films and on TV, and why aren't we as black gay men allowed to do that? And then kind of like goes off about that. And it's like, but I'm not trying to like shit on this movie because I'm sure it's excellent. But I was like, but you kind of just did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so how many of us are going to go and see The Inspection, right? With all our Judys and our girls and show up in full force and support that movie. And so that's, because I think that's part of the problem too. If we don't support the art and the work, then more work and art can't be made, right? And so I think we kind of get stuck sometimes like complaining about stuff versus actually creating change. And this person is an actor and I went through their feed and they do a lot of horror movies and stuff like that, which doesn't feel particularly joyful to me.
Period.
But I think that's part of it. Like, I think we can be part of the problem or we can be part of the solution. We know we're going up against this Hollywood machine that doesn't see us, right? Yeah. That wants trauma stories.
Right.
But what we shouldn't do is then bring down a brother that is telling his real life story from going homeless to joining the military as a way out as like belittling them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You took my exact point on this topic is just how quickly folks in our community are to jump to judgment and to hate on a project. And we know that we don't typically get the budget to not, you know, have the finances and the backing that comes with putting together a project. So it's very humble and people just rip things apart and that is to our detriment. Mm-hmm. And so it's just everything you said. I just want to echo that.
Yeah. A critic with no credentials.
See what he said.
All right. So there's a quote in Native Son by Richard Wright that says, the thing to do was to just act like others acted, like they lived, and while they were not looking, do what you wanted. Today is 82 years since that book was published. Mm-hmm. And we're now living as black queer men. And we're utilizing our platforms to create change and encourage individuals to do as they want it. Mm-hmm. How do you hope the work that you're doing with Native Son and then also Damon and Tony with Surface Level, how do you hope that work changes the conversation around visibility for future generations of black queer men?
So, okay. So this is the uncle auntie part of me. I just have to do this and it's not shade. So Native Son is named after James Baldwin's Notes of a Native Son. So James Baldwin was Richard Wright's, Richard Wright was James Baldwin's mentor. Mm. And so part of Notes of a Native Son is him challenging a lot of the things that are expressed in Native Son. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of massage this a little and say, one of my favorite quotes from Notes of a Native Son by James Baldwin is, the place in which I will exist will, in which I will fit will not exist until I make it, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. And so with Native Son and with Surface Level Podcasts, that's what we're doing, right? We're creating spaces for ourselves because they don't exist. And that's, I think, the way that we create visibility. Mm. And what I love, the reason why I was drawn to James Baldwin's Notes of a Native Son is all his essays from different places. And he challenges colorism in Hollywood. He challenges the relationship of the Black church with queer folks. He challenges his family dynamic. He challenges himself as a Black man. And I think we have to do those things, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I really look up to him. Like, I say Andre Leon Talley because it's very obvious for me to say James Baldwin when I say who kind of really influenced me. But I think what James Baldwin was able to do was push back against systems and structures and be himself and lit, right? Reading, mm-hmm. being mm-hmm. really, really clear. And so what you all are doing and what I believe Native Son's intention is that we're actually creating a space where we can hug each other, where we can see each other, where we can lift each other up. We're not like, that's not the book it's from. It's like, that's just whack. But it's about like, how do we help each other and be reflections of each other? And I think that's what's really been amazing for me to watch the growth of Surface Level Podcasts, because your intention was very clear. You created something in a space that it didn't exist because you needed that. You wanted this. You wanted to have these conversations. And look at how it's growing.
Ooh, snatch our wigs. Okay? My edges.
Tony's bald.
Right, while those edges are coming together, Damon.
You know, I really, like right now, what we're doing is really about creating visibility. Mm-hmm. And what I would love in the future is for like our stories to be more normalized. Mm. Like I would like love to move past the space, excuse me, where there are fewer first Black queer mm-hmm. and more of a community of all types of people that mm-hmm. can like support each other, give yeah. advice. Hey, I did this. You should do this as well. And, mm-hmm. and like that, we're bubbling and we're getting to that point where obviously there's much more diversity in things and in who's being represented and who's telling stories. But I would just love to for it to like, I don't want to say not be exciting that like the inspection mm-hmm. is coming out, but just yeah. like, oh, wait, such and such has right. a thing coming out this week. Cool. Let's go see that, too.
Right.
Versus yeah. like, child, we've been waiting all year. See Jeremy.
Right.
Jeremy's coming back, y'all. Like, I want it yeah. to be less of that. Like, I don't want it to be, oh, Pose went off the air. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
It's just right. like it should just be this collective of things, and I would love to get to that space where it's not just about there being one or there mm-hmm. you're being the first at it. Yeah. And I hope that when we look 80 years from now that's the case.
Yeah, I think for me, like my dream is that conversation and tough conversation and important conversation begets more conversation and tough conversation and important conversation by people, the masses within our community, and people aren't running away from these topics that we, you know, address on our show, and that people allow themselves to be more vulnerable, more open with each other, invite people in. And that's how I feel we'll continue to build and grow and not be so guarded. And so I really, like, I feel like since we've started this show and that there's been conversations have opened up, and I feel like there's more happening, and I hear it all the time. People will come in the comments or in person and tell us that they'll be sounding off on right. the stuff that we're talking about and saying
so
how
you said,
like... yeah, and they'll talk about how they're having the conversation in their friend group, and like for me, I'm like the fuck I'm talking about. I love to hear that.
She's taking it
When I think about the next generation of Black and queer men, I hope that what our podcast can do, or one of the things that I hope that our podcast can do, is enlighten the future parents mm-hmm. of Black and queer men. I think a lot of the conversations that we have on this podcast, we can connect it back to some childhood experience that mm-hmm. led to the reason why we have to have this conversation in the first place. And, you know, I really want this next generation of parents who are lucky enough to be able to parent a Black and queer child has the tools and has a better understanding of what that experience is like, so that when this child is growing up and they're learning about their self-esteem and they're gaining their confidence and they're, you know, forming what their personality is naturally, that visibility isn't so much an aspiration for them, it's an expectation of life. Like, mm-hmm. they expect to be seen mm-hmm. when they walk into spaces and not have to adjust themselves.
Yep.
And I'm just hoping that, you know, for people who are going to take on that responsibility, that, you know, you understand that those formative years are so important.
Mm-hmm.
We're still unpacking shit from our childhood, and mm-hmm. I don't think there's an end date on that for many people.
No.
So that's what I really hope that, you know, we can do for this next generation. With that said, you know, I want to thank you, Emil. This was an absolute amazing conversation. The three of us, we started this podcast in 2020. We started developing it in 2019. And Native Son was one of the platforms and organizations that we looked to for inspiration. Mm. And so this is sort of like a full circle moment for us to have this conversation. We really look to your organization and the work that you've done to sort of guide us. Mm. And so we're really happy that you were able to come here and have a conversation and be in studio. We love when people are in the studio.
No,
as
I don't
well.
Want it to end. More. I'm like loving this. I'm like, I don't want to go.
Listen, this is a big warm hug.
This is the going beginning. On. This is the beginning. This is a Surface Level Native Son family now.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And for the listeners and the viewers who are, you know, tuning into this episode, where can they learn more about you, mm-hmm. Learn more about Native Son? This is an opportunity for you to also share if there's anything coming up that you would like to share with the audience.
I love this. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So for more about Native Son, most of our content lives on at Native Son Now, which is our Instagram, and also our Twitter and our Facebook platforms. We are in the process, which I'm really excited to tease, building out a content platform that's going to launch in the beginning of next year. And yes. just the work that you all are doing is very important when we talk about visibility, that we have a place where we can tell our stories. We can see images of ourselves. We can see other people and get other opinions, right, that might be differing and aren't the same, and talk about the issues that are relevant to us. I think as Black, gay, and queer men, the foundation of our community is storytelling. And so it's really important from a Native Son perspective that we tell all the diverse stories that make up our community. And to your point, that we have allyship, that we're bringing other people in, that we're exposing people, and hopefully parents, right, that will help not harm their children and create mm-hmm. safer spaces. So I'm really excited about that. For me, I'm at Emil Wilbekin on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, mostly on Instagram. I don't know about Twitter right now. yeah, so those are the places. But it'll be nativesun.us will be the website when it launches.
Great. Cool. Thank you. All right. Well, on that note, that is all the time that we have this week. This season of Surface Level is presented by MOBI, Mobilizing Our Brothers Initiative. If you enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.